Wait a minute, this sounds like rock and or roll.
Hey, you're listening to Rock and or Roll, I'm BJ. As we heard on the episode last week, in the 70s, there was a phenomenon which has come to be known as junk shop glam. And it's the idea that because glam rock was so incredibly popular, there were lots and lots of bands. You know, this has happened numerous times in history. When a certain form of music becomes very popular, lots of people are inspired to form bands to emulate that, or to cash in on that success. And the record labels sign all those bands and put out records by all those bands. And then you get a flood of music. And that's what happened with glam rock in Europe in the 70s. Because of the nature of this genre, it really revolves around singles. Most of these bands never had a record. A lot of them only released one single, one and done. For junk shop glam, it was about 45s. It was about singles. And for the collectors of this genre, that we talked about, I talked about the two guys on the last episode, the guys from the Buzzcocks and Jesus and Mary Chain, who popularized the term junk shop glam. They were two of the big collectors of this stuff, discovering these singles in junk shops or thrift shops, one-off bands where a lot of these songs are actually really good and really fun. So that's what junk shop glam is all about. It's just about those obscure, one-off glam rock bands during the heyday of glam rock in Europe in the 70s. So anyways, last week I played about 30 songs by junk shop glam bands. For this episode, I wanted to really focus on the singles and do the same thing I did with the new wave of British heavy metal. I did an episode where I played the A and B side from some classic singles. So that's what I wanted to do for this episode, to really get that feel of the single, the 45. We're going to hear both sides of 13 awesome junk shop glam singles, A and B. And we're going to kick things off with maybe the classic junk shop glam single. This is a song I actually played all the way back on the third episode of the podcast, which was devoted to glam rock. But we're going to hear the entire single, A and B side, right now. The band's called Iron Virgin, from Edinburgh, Scotland, formed in 1972, made up of vocalist Stuart Harper, guitarist Gordon Nickel and Laurie Riva, bassist Marshall Bain, and drummer John Lovett. They had two singles on Decca Records. Their first single in 1973 was a cover of Jet by Wings. And then this, their second single, came out in 1974. The A side is called Rebels Rule, and the B side is called Ain't No Clown. This is Iron Virgin.
Part of the cause. Come on, let's stand firm and strong.
All right, up next we're going to hear a single by a UK band called April. They had two singles in 1975. This is the first one by April. We're going to hear the A side, Rolling It Over, and the B side, Come On Down.
Come on! train, so come on down. Well, if you really want to have a good time, then there's only one place to find. So hurry up, come and meet the crowd. Come on now, get ready, the fun's gonna start. Keep moving.
This next band, Sting, had two singles on EMI in 74 and 75. The band was originally called Sun Chariot, and one member, Dave Howman, went on to write songs for the Monty Python films The Meaning of Life and Life of Brian. Anyways, let's hear a single, A and B side, by Sting. We're going to hear Blazing Inferno and Thunder Kid.
Destroyed. There's nowhere
Up next, we're going to hear a single by Paul Kass. Paul Kass had two singles in 74 and 75. We're going to hear the A and B side of one of his singles, Mini Marianne and Riverboat Rock.
Yeah!
This next single is by a band called Slowbone. They had three singles. This one was released in 1974. The singer of this band was Lee Hart, who went on to form the bands The Roll-Ups and Ya Ya before joining Fastway in the late 80s. I did an entire episode where I interviewed Lee Hart, so you could hear his story. It's episode number 59 of Rock and or Roll. But this is an awesome Junk Shop Glam single, so I'm going to include it here. We're going to hear Oh Man and then Get What You're Given by Slowbone.
Trying to do what you're trying to do to me.
This next single came out in 1975 on Decca Records. The group is called The Bubbles. The A-side is called This Is Where the Hurdy-Gurdy Heebie-Jeebie Greeny Meeny Man Came In. The B-side is called Zap and Cat.
She rocked and reeled across my dream. Dreamt all
Up next is a Scottish band called Frenzy. Originally formed in 1973, when they were all in high school, they originally formed as a cover band, wanted to be the Bay City Rollers, moved to London, signed to DJM Records, and put out a single in 1975, and we're going to hear it now. The group is called Frenzy. The songs on the single are Things You Do and Poser.
A poser, and if you give her half a chance, she'll trap you in a stranger mess. right. Stretch down. You can't go by. Poser, she's a poser. And when you say she's looking good, she acts as if it's understood.
Up next is a band called Ritz, made up of Alan Yates, Simon Shu, and Teddy Howard. Put out one single in 1974. Let's hear it now. We're going to hear the songs Jenny Gentle and then the B-side Why Love.
Yeah.
This next band is a Dutch band called Booby Trap, formed in 1971. Put out one single in 1974. Let's hear it. The A side is Kelly Grace and Sally. The B side is called The Hooker.
Man, he's in love with two girls at the same time.
This next guy, Johnny Ducan, was a British guitarist primarily known for his work with The Attack and then Atomic Rooster. He also released three solo singles between 1977 and 1979. This is the second single by Johnny Ducan from 1977. The A-side is Where's the Show? The B-side, Hang Around.
Where's the show? Where's the show? Where's the show? I gotta know. Where's the show? Where's the show? Where's the show? I gotta know. Where's the show? Where's the show? Where's the show? I gotta know.
Up next is a British singer-songwriter named Barry Rolfe. Put out 3 singles on Philips Records in 1973 and 1974. This is the second one by Barry Rolfe. We're going to hear Look the Business and then Molly Molly.
Hey you! Do you think I look the business? I like to wear my trousers, price, and I like my jeans real high.
Mick Flynn relocated to London from Australia in the early 70s after having some success down under with a band called The Mixtures. He formed a band in the UK called Springfield Revival, but also released three singles as the Mick Flynn Band, the first of which came out on EMI in 1978, and we're going to hear it right now. The A-side is Doing It Right, the B-side, Do What You Wanna Do.
We'll be right back.
And now to play us out.
What does that mean, to play us out? I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah.
Trevor White held the distinction of being the guy that replaced Mark Bolan in John's Children, and then the band Juke kind of grew out of John's Children. They had the same manager, John Hewlett. Signed with RCA, John Hewlett also managed Sparks, which is how Trevor White ended up joining Sparks in 74 after Juke broke up. Trevor also released a solo single in 1976, the A-side of which originally was released by the band Juke. But let's hear the Trevor White version. This is a great glam rock single by Trevor White. Came out on Island Records in 1976. The A-side is Crazy Kids. The B-side, Moving in the Right Direction.
Bringing it boy to his knees.
So we're doing these segments where you listen to old records, and I put them at the end of episodes, and I was thinking we should have some kind of a theme song or an introduction for it. And I was thinking it could go something like this.
Dad rock!
What do you think?
No.
No? Come on, sing it with me.
Dad rock! Dad rock!
Sing it!
Dad rock! Dad rock!
Dad rock. No.
Okay, we're back again for our third go-around of chronological listening to albums in sort of chronological order. And of course, we started with the Beatles, so we had to move on next to the Rolling Stones, even though it was hard to pick which album to listen to, and I wasn't expecting that you would probably like it a whole lot. So I chose Beggar's Banquet, mainly because I wanted you to hear Sympathy for the Devil, and Street Fighting Man is my favorite. And so what did you think of the album overall?
It was interesting.
It was interesting?
Yeah. Most of the songs I didn't like.
Yeah. Why didn't you like them?
Too much slide guitar.
Slide guitar? You don't like slide guitar?
No, it's annoying.
Well, so what did you think of the first song, Sympathy for the Devil?
It had weird instruments, and I don't know what I meant by that, but it had weird instruments, and the bass was like the most melodic part of the song besides the singing. And there was only one person singing, which is really weird because, like, in every Beatles song, there were, like, seven people. Not
lots
seven.
Lots of harmonies, yeah.
But, like, a lot of people singing. And, like, in the first song, there was only one person singing.
Except for
all
the
woo-woo. Yeah, except for the woo-woo.
Yeah. That's then, probably the... Would you say that's the best part of the song is when the woo-woos start?
Yeah.
Where you could say, sure, whatever you say.
And it was bluesy but not boring, kind of. And then, song two, No Expectations, was much softer than the first song, and it had slide guitar. And it was less bluesy and more like a lot of genres. And the name of the song was still in the song, but in, like, a lot of, like, every... No, like every Beatles song, there probably isn't a Beatles song on, like, the albums that we listen to where the name of the song isn't in the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
And then the name of the song wasn't in the chorus.
For?
It was, like, it was in the song, but it wasn't in the chorus. Yeah.
The name of the song's never in Sympathy for the Devil, right? Did you?
Oh, no, it wasn't.
Did you like Sympathy for the Devil at all?
It wasn't the worst song on the album.
Okay, right.
But yeah, and then Dear Doctor, there weren't as many instruments, and there were two people, and there were harmonies, but they weren't like pretty harmonies. They were kind of like, I don't know.
Keith is singing with Mick on that, right?
Yeah, they were kind of more like yelling harmonies. It was still a harmony, though.
Are you talking about Keith Richards' vocal? Is that?
Yeah.
Keith Richards' style of singing is more like yelling?
Yes. And they used really, like, weird high-pitched voices at some parts. And I also said it was very boring and messy.
Well, that's one thing about the Rolling Stones. That's kind of one of their trademarks is mm-hmm. kind of being sloppy.
Yeah.
A little sloppy with the way Keith Richards, the guitar player, that's part of his shtick is kind of his sloppy playing. So that's kind of on purpose, really. It's part of the atmosphere, yeah. I guess, of a Rolling Stones album in a way, mm-hmm. sometimes at least. So No Expectations, would you say you liked it or didn't like it?
It was my favorite song on the album.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Okay. You like this? Yeah, so that one's kind of, I would say it's more of a folk song with kind of country elements to it.
Mm-hmm.
But you did not like Dear Doctor, right?
No.
Yeah, that's a bluesy one.
Mm-hmm. And then Parachute Woman sounds a lot like Dear Doctor. And the guitar thing is kind of cool, like, the thing that keeps repeating. Like, I don't know, I forgot what it was, kind of. But then it get it also is, like, annoying. But, like, it's not... And the song wasn't boring. Or, wait, I said that wrong. It wasn't boring, but it was annoying.
It's kind of a chugging blues song. And then you were remarking on the, like, little lead parts that Keith kind of throws in there, I think, mm-hmm. is the guitar part you're talking about. Yeah, I remember you commented on it when the song was playing.
Yeah.
Because didn't you say it sounded like it was out of key with the rest of the song? I think you said that.
Maybe I did. I don't know. And then Jigsaw Puzzle started with slide guitar, like Parachute Woman and Dear Doctor. They both also started with slide guitar. And the voice is less loud, kind of. It's, like, more quiet. But it was still the same, like, type of song. And the melody is slightly more interesting and not as repetitive. And there was lots of slide guitar.
You really don't like slide guitar, huh?
I don't know.
Yeah, Mick sings that song, like, in a quieter, kind of softer voice. I like that song, but it goes on too long, probably. Mm-hmm.
And Street Fighting Man, there were a lot of layered vocals, so it was, like, more, like, I guess, like, loud and, like, powerful or something. And it said weird, it, like, said weird stuff. Wait, what is, says, oh, he said stuff weird. He sings weird. Mm-hmm. He, like, pronounces stuff really weird, and it's annoying.
Right, okay.
Kind of. And, like, he was singing, but has, like, expression like he's talking, kind of, I guess. And there were lots of different parts and a lot of different instruments and not one, like, particular instrument louder than the rest. Just, like, a lot of instruments at once. But it wasn't very messy. And then for Prodigal Son, I just wrote, sings it kind of obnoxiously, like, has an accent. And then I wrote, boring with 20 G's.
Okay, but back to Street Fighting Man. Did you like that song at all, or?
Yeah.
Are you just saying that because I said it was my favorite?
No.
That's like the most rocking song on the album. You definitely noticed right away that Mick had the layered vocals, so his vocals, I guess, sounded better.
Yeah.
On it, probably. But you don't like the way he pronounces words and like his shtick, the way he sings.
I think. It's annoying.
What did you say? Something about it, the sound as if he's talking?
It's like he's singing but has an expression like he's talking, kind of.
He's singing but has an expression like he's talking. Yeah, I think that's a good way to describe Mick Jagger, his vocal style. I love the production on that song. I love how the separation between the instruments and the different guitar parts, how they blend together. I love that song a lot, Street Fighting Man. Mm-hmm. But then, yeah, you gave Boring with 20 G's to the next song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to, 1 second.
Parachute Woman, was it?
No, Prodigal
Son. Oh, Prodigal Son, yeah.
Prodigal Son, yeah.
Yeah. It's just a blues song.
He sang it like he had an accent, and I don't, mm-hmm. it was, I don't like it.
Yeah, he puts on different accents when he sings, for sure.
Why? Oh, I wrote more about that, but it was on the next page. I also wrote repetitive and meh.
Okay. So you did not like that one.
No, and then Stray Cat Blues, he sings it weird. And mm-hmm. there wasn't any slide guitar, which was great because it didn't get on my nerves. And there were less instruments, but it was still loud. And it was messy, but not in a bad way. And there was a very long, messy, boring outro, though, that was, like, different from the song part. It was just, like, it went on until it finally stopped, and it was sad.
I love that. That's kind of a perfect description of Stray Cat Blues, is messy, but not in a bad way. Mm-hmm. That really is. That's kind of what they were going for, I think. Mm-hmm. So at least that translated.
And then...
Would you say you like Stray Cat Blues at all, or it's just not?
It was fine. It wasn't bad. No, I liked it.
It's one of the less kind of boring or generic J. generic bluesy sounding songs, I guess. It's one of the more, probably it's this, probably the second heaviest, more rocking song after Street Fighter Man, I guess.
And then Factory Girl, I wrote, there were weird drums. I think they were like bongo drums or something.
Yeah.
And there was acoustic guitar, which I don't think there were any other songs with acoustic guitar. There might have been one or something. But, and he sang it annoyingly. And the guitar was pretty. And it was more like folk songy and a little bit bluesy, but like not as much as other songs.
Right.
And there was fiddle in it. And it was a pretty song. I liked that song.
You liked it? Cool. Yeah.
And then Salt of the Earth wasn't very bluesy, and the slide guitar is back.
Oh.
And he doesn't sing it as annoying, and there was more piano, and it was pretty-ish, and it was repetitive, and the song structure was more noticeable. Like, it went verse, chorus, verse, and, like, a lot of the other songs didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some backup singing, and there was a choir, and I think there's only, like, two songs with backup singing, and it got louder towards the end, like, very loud at the end, like, very, very loud at the end.
Mm-hmm. And that's also the end of the record, so they...
So they it probably, got gradually louder.
They probably wanted it to end that way, like, end big, I don't know. I think that's a really nice song. I like how you said that Mick's not as annoying on it, because I think he's being really earnest and serious on that song, and so he drops some of his shtick on it, I think.
And that's the last song.
Okay, so you said No Expectations was your favorite. That's interesting. And it sounded like Factory Girl was probably your second favorite from your comments.
Yeah.
Does this, listening to this album, make you want to hear anything else by the Rolling Stones?
No, just kidding. Maybe.
Thank you. So take me to the airport and put me on a plane. I've got no expectations to pay.
Be back.